now serving butter and bacon, the good stuff.
Wally?
Yes.
Are you a Pokemon Go player?
I'm not.
I am not either, but it has infiltrated my family.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
I have to ask, if you were in the Magic Kingdom, would you be annoyed by all the Pokemon Go players?
You know, honestly, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't be able to tell if they were playing Pokemon instead of Pokemon, which you keep saying.
Pokemon.
If they were playing Pokemon Go, if they were trying to find what their Fastpass reservation was for, if they were checking for touring plans to see where they have to go next, if they were making a dining reservation, if they were texting their friend. I mean, honestly, it's just another thing that people are doing on their phones. I don't think it's really going to make that much of a difference. With one exception, the videos of the hordes of people at parks. That is a little different.
Yeah. I don't know how the game works, so I can't really comment on it. I mean, are people able to catch the same Pokemon?
Or I don't know.
Are they battling over it?
I don't know. I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is it appears we have guests.
Hello to our new guests.
Hello. Welcome to Butter and Bacon.
We appreciate you listening.
Where we discuss the good things of Disney. Just like butter and bacon. Both good things.
Well, before we jump into this week's good discussion, I want to just wrap up with a quiz for you.
We're going to wrap up the beginning?
Yeah, it's going to wrap up the Pokemon conversation.
Oh, okay.
Do you know where Pokemon comes
yes.
from?
Yes.
Enlighten us.
Japan.
Well, yeah, but do you know what the words
pocket
Pokemon
monster
mean? It is. It's pocket monster, which is just completely inappropriate.
It kind of is, but also you could also say it should have made its way to mobile phones, mobile devices earlier, because you could say that those are pocket monsters.
Yeah, and we've had those pocket monsters for a decade now, and this new game has been out for, what, a week and a half, and it's insanity.
It is. It is the number one, I think it's now, it is now the most downloaded game or app for mobile devices ever.
Wow, really?
Think about that. Candy Crush has been out for like 5 years. Facebook.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because it was probably the second or third day, and I kept getting people retweeting a CNN article and talking about how much this has been downloaded, and all they kept referencing is more downloads than Tinder.
Yes.
It's like, is this really the benchmark?
Well,
is that where Tinder is now the benchmark for downloads?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, it used to be, well, it's like album sales. Everything used to be compared to Thriller, I think.
Yeah.
And now, couldn't tell you.
I mean, I don't even think they worry about album sales. It's more about song downloads.
Right? I don't know. But I don't play it yet. I might eventually. And, you know, I've put on my Twitter that sometimes I feel like my entire Twitter feed is people playing Pokemon Go. I don't have a problem with people that play Pokemon Go. I don't necessarily need to know everything that people are doing on Pokemon Go. But, you know, to each their own. Have fun. And it's getting people outside.
That's the part I like about it. It's really, supposedly at least, designed with that GPS system to get you walking your neighborhood or walking where you are and capturing these Pokemon.
Oh, man. So, you know, I might be able to win a weekend challenge on Fitbit.
There you go. Oh, great. My Twitter feed needs as many times as you tweet in a day. I need those to all be about Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I started following all these people for different and various reasons, and now everybody is united in a common thing. So my entire feed and the 1,400 people or whatever that I follow, all of them seemingly tweeting about Pokemon in one mass voice. Okay.
Calling out.
Have fun. And then we're suddenly silent when I find a way to mute the anyway. Yeah.
Good luck with
and that. Then I'll figure and then I'll wonder why Twitter is completely gone.
Yeah, really more downloads than Twitter?
That seems I guess.
Now, I guess it's probably true. The number of people the number of people tweeting about it is a subset of the number of people playing it.
Right.
So maybe it is more downloads than Twitter.
Could be. The other thing is if you catch a Pokemon on Pokemon Go and you don't tweet about it, did you actually catch it?
Never actually took place.
You know what didn't take place is my trip to Walt Disney World because I don't have one planned. However, I believe you just returned from one.
Yes, and while I was on said trip, you know what didn't take place there? Walking around the parks catching Pokemon Go.
No, because you left just before it got released.
Yes, we got home right before that happened.
I've heard there's a Pokestop on Main Street, USA, and I believe someone caught Pikachu there.
It seems so cross-branded.
It's not branded at all. I mean, there are people that, you know, we don't need to continue that discussion, but tell me about
only
your trip.
To the extent. Well, I'd say only to the extent, though, I've seen people yelling at Disney because the Pokemon Go servers were not functional or they were overloaded. It's like, we blame Disney for a lot of things, and I have a few I'll blame for them on my trip, but for the most part, when it's not actually Disney content, it's really hard to blame Iger.
People blame Disney for when radio stations play Disney songs.
Yeah, that's Disney's fault. Well, Paulie.
Yes.
Before we go any further, yes. I do want to wish you a happy anniversary.
Hey, same to you.
Thank you. Paulie and I share an anniversary.
Just
not
together.
And not the same year.
No. I recently celebrated my 15th, and Mr. Dean, I believe, was 13?
It was 13.
Nice.
And so this trip, although wrapped up a day before our anniversary, was in part celebrating our anniversary. It was
our anniversary.
Ours, yes, not mine and my wife's, just me and you.
Yes.
My whole trip was texting back to you.
My bromance.
So, in the spirit of the anniversary month of July that we do celebrate, I think I would like to give you a little bit of something old.
Nope.
Something new. Oh. Something borrowed, and something blue.
Nice. Maybe only two?
About my Disney
trip. Maybe only two?
Maybe only two. Some of them are kind of hard to fit. We'll see how we do.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So, I'll give you a little bit of background before we go into our thematic approach to my Disney
trip. Please do.
And tell you that last year, 2015, I bought an annual pass on July 6th. So guess what the last day of my trip was this year in 2016?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say July 6th.
It was. Yes. So that is why, you know, anyone who knows me prior to this podcast knows that we do typically travel in the summer months because my wife is working at school.
Yep.
And
your kid goes to a school.
My kid does go to a school now, yeah. So we were all set to be sensitive to that. So this year, the school year didn't extend nearly as far as it typically does. Up here in the Northeast, it's not uncommon to have school years wrapping up the third or even into the early fourth week of June.
Yeah.
This year, they actually wrapped up about the second week due to very lack of snowstorm. So, I will talk a little bit about where we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, we...
Now, under our premise, where we stayed, does that have a major heading of something old, new, borrowed, or blue?
Well, the first four nights, we stayed at Coronado Springs. And that is something old because I have stayed there once before, but it was literally one day once before.
That's like my experience of spending a night at Old Key West. And when I say a night, we checked in at 10:30 p.m. and we caught a limo the next morning at 5:40 to get to the airport.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we had a 6-hour stay.
Beautiful. Yeah, our prior stay at Coronado was a little bit longer than that, but it was during love bug season 5 years ago.
We're inside.
We're not wanting to battle those guys. So we had a couple nights there, but this was really our first time that we got to explore the resort. But actually, my something old for Coronado was that we got to meet up with some old friends. So our first night there, we checked in. We were in Orlando before noon. Went right to Magic Kingdom, had some fun park time, and then met up with Mike Rallman of the Be Our Guest podcast.
Nice.
And our good buddy Scott, I believe it's Eb Scott on Twitter.
Yes.
And we had a nice dinner together at Maya Grill.
That's fantastic.
And as all nice dinners at a Mexican place would be, it included things like guacamole and margarita plates.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we had a good time. It was fun to meet up with them, and they were actually coming from Frozenstrom, or whatever we're calling it this week.
Ever After Strum.
Thank you. Yeah, so they were running a few minutes late, which was fine. It just meant I could order my margarita and start early.
I don't think that's ever stopped me, ever.
No, so it was a really good time. We hung out, we caught up, we chatted. They were coming off a cruise, so it was fun to hear about that. And, you know, again, just old friends. Mike and I have done dinner a few times on previous trips because he, like my wife, works in a school system, so they're typically June vacationers, yep. And it was nice to catch up with them.
And you, and I believe on his show, which is, as you said, the Be Our Guest podcast, you've actually been on that show and done trip reports previously, correct?
I have. I'm trying to remember if the Coronado trip was one of them. I don't think it was.
Well, maybe we can find a way to get that published.
Yeah, maybe we can end up with that. But yeah, I've been on with Mike a few times, and certainly also talk with him during his awesome campaign that they do, which is coming up at the end of July this year for the Give Kids the World fundraiser.
Yes. So. Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, the Be Our Guest podcast is great. They do a fundraiser for Give Kids the World Village down in Orlando, which helps provide Disney vacations to families who are really going through a tough time. So definitely check that out. I know that for the last 2 years, I have convo bombed their show. I know you also have called into their show.
Absolutely.
Likely we will do the same again.
It's a good chance. Well, one of the things we noticed while we were waiting for Mike and Scott to catch up with us was something new, which I know other people have already talked about, sent pictures of, but it's just interesting to see in person. It's just the new signs around every waterway everywhere in Orlando, Walt Disney World, I should say, warning you about alligators and water slides.
Yes.
And, you know, the fences that they've put up around the resorts that have waterfront, I think they're, for the most part, tastefully done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to stress to people, they are to keep the people out,
yep.
Not to keep the alligators in.
Nope.
So walking up to the fence and leaning over and looking doesn't really help your cause.
Nope.
And on the heels of that, one other new thing that I saw was there were some cast members easily identified by their red shorts and white shirts, mm-hmm. and walkie-talkies on their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to have been trolling the looking for wildlife along the waterways. So.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more of a enhanced directive amongst cast members to not only be on the lookout, particularly the lifeguard staff. You know, it's just yet another duty. Where they've got to not only look for, you know, people, make sure that they're following the rules, make sure that no one is, you know, of course, drowning or anything like that, but also now add to that list of tasks, look for wildlife, look for signs of wildlife, look for, you know, because most of those water snakes and alligators, you don't see them because they're under the water, but, you know, there are things that they can look for, such as, you know, now we're getting into Wild Kingdom. But you look for, you know, seagrass that is going the other way than the wind, for example. You look for bubbles.
Right.
You know, so things like that.
And I'd say for the most part, it wasn't intrusive. You know, we saw them everywhere we went. It was, I think, just another level of security around property and probably one that some would argue is well overdue.
Yep. I could see that.
Yeah, I really,
and I think it's going to be one of those things, yet another one of those things. It's not going to impact the guest experience, and in maybe, you know, I'm going to make up something, 6 months to a year, it's going to be exactly like it was always there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the fencing and stuff has been themed well enough, mm-hmm. that for the most part, it appears like it's always been there.
Yep.
And, you know, they vary it based on the resort and based on the area and stuff. So, speaking of themes, Coronado borrows its theme of the Southwest America, Colonial Spanish American type. So they have a really cool pool area. You know, everything is really well.
It's got a big pyramid, doesn't it?
It does. It does. They call it the dig site.
Nice.
That whole area with the pool and the jaguar slide and the kids' playground, which we definitely took advantage of. But what I want to talk about is the decor on the inside. We booked a standard view room.
Mm-hmm.
We booked under an annual pass discount, so I think we had like 20 or 25% off the normal rate.
How did you book this, Dean?
We used Adventures Out There Travel.
Oh!
I've booked with travel agents in the past, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm more of a control freak. I like to dictate my own vacation.
That sounds like podcast listeners in general.
Yeah, for the most part. And so, you know...
Myself included.
Myself included as well. So, when I booked with travel agents before, and actually going back to Pierre Guest, one of our cruises I booked through Mike because we were doing the podcast cruise with them.
Yes, he is also a travel agent. That's right. We will say that.
It's an experience to use someone. I think it's kind of nice to have a partner in the travel booking experience. And on the heels of that, I decided to become one of those partners. So I, in full disclosure, am a part owner of Adventures Out There Travel. And we are certainly looking to help anyone who wants to have a partner in their travel. So that is who I used. Ironically, my wife was my travel agent. So you can contact her if you want. Becca at adventureisoutthertravel.com.
Fantastic.
You could contact me, Dean at adventureisoutthertravel.com, and would certainly would love to help you. But yeah, it was fun actually, because I started barking orders at her. It's like, hey, you're my travel agent. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Was she not able to separate herself as a travel agent versus wife?
I will allow you to tweet or Facebook that question to her.
That's funny.
One thing that she did do, though, was book the room category we requested, which was completely not honored, but in a good way, by the check-in desk. So when we got to, we always rent a car. Well, we typically rent a car, I should say, and mm-hmm. we did on this trip. So when we got to Coronado to book to check in, my son had fallen asleep in the back seat. And so my wife and he stayed in the car. I just ran in to see if our room was ready to get our stuff upstairs. And, you know, she had noted on our reservation, happy anniversary. She gave us buttons, gave us one for our son for whatever he was celebrating. She said, yes, your room is ready. I hope you don't mind. We gave you an upgrade. Okay, that sounds fantastic.
No, so, I want my downgraded room, please.
Please. I mean, we requested, like, you know, dumpster view. And
more on that later.
And instead, we were amazingly pleased to find they not only upgraded us to a king room that overlooked the water in the cabanas area, they actually upgraded us to a king suite, one of 10 they have in property.
Oh, that's
there.
Fantastic.
So picture a moderate room. We walk in, and the first of the three rooms all the way on the right was a typical moderate room bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, king bed, television, little desk,
yep.
Bathroom facility, etc. We then had the lockout door.
Yep.
Walk through that, and the next entire room of what would have been a moderate room has been blown out into a small, like, kitchenette area with sink, a full kitchen table, a seating area, and an entry door. And that is wide open, wall removed, connected to what would have been a third moderate room that had another sitting area, a bed, and its own full bathroom.
Sounds like what you're describing is very close to one of the larger one-bedroom DVC resorts.
Yeah, I'd say it's very similar like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, estimate probably somewhere in the area of 960 square feet for the
wow,
three of us.
Wow, that's big. so everybody had 300 square feet to themselves?
Yeah, basically. I put tape on the room and on the ground. You stay here, I'll stay here, and then that wasn't going to work because I was in the middle area, and that's the only one that didn't have a bathroom. So
right.
We compromised. But no, it works out well. You know, one of the complaints people have about Coronado is that it's more of a convention space, a lot of business people.
I have heard that.
And I can see where this space would be really convenient. Let's say you were bringing a team of your employees down for a convention. This might be the manager's area where everybody comes to convene. Maybe you're doing a little bit of business work, having the, you know, the open space there. You can lock off your bedroom if you are said manager,
yeah,
and then just use that sort of living room TV area with its own restroom as your meeting
space.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that's like senior VP territory for when they have
exactly.
sales meetings and stuff like that. Yep.
Yeah, and there was some, I did see some conventioners. There's one going on, some education group that was there.
Hmm.
It doesn't bother me. If anything, I'm thinking, you know, it's Tuesday morning, you guys are going
yes.
to work. I'm going to Epcot.
You have to go sit in a conference room with the air conditioning turned to 50 degrees, and I'm going to be going to the theme parks.
Yeah, well, the 50 degree would be the good part of that convention,
oh,
because,
yeah.
man, was it hot.
Yeah, I heard.
But yeah, I liked Coronado. We used the pool. We used some of the facilities. We got the refillable mugs. The way they work now, if anyone hasn't seen the not very recent update at this point, you know, you buy the room or you buy the mug. It's either for 1, 2, 3 or length of stay, which is 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an 11-night stay mm-hmm. between the 4 nights at Coronado and a week at our next resort,
mm-hmm.
and they just work all across property. So we bought them there and used them for the next 11 days.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, so when we left Coronado, it was to go get ourselves a 1 week stay at the Boardwalk. And the reason we chose these two resorts is because, again, I said a very short stay at Coronado last time, so I wanted to explore it some more. And Boardwalk is one of the few resorts we've never stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited. My travel agent slash wife booked us a week at the Boardwalk.
Now, notice your results may vary. In fact, they will, because typically your travel agent is not going to be your wife.
No, but we will be your partner in business travel.
Nice. What's that name again?
That is Adventure is Out There Travel. It's at AIOT Travel on Twitter. AdventuresOutThere.com, I believe.
Fantastic.
AdventuresOutThereTravel.com. So
we'll edit that.
Yeah, please do. So the Boardwalk is one of the few deluxe resorts I've never stayed in. The other one is Yacht Club. So I just wanted to check it off the list and, again, kind of get down there, do a little exploring, get more familiar with everything that Disney has to offer. And so not only was that new, but as I tweeted out pictures, our dear friend Amy Beth Combs pointed out to me that the decor inside the villas is new. And I remember seeing pictures of them, and I would say that they probably are best described, the old photos were a little bit more whimsy, maybe a little bit more cartoony colored, that kind of thing. Everything seems very toned down, colors a little bit more muted, mm-hmm. a little bit more classic and artful in their approach. I thought they were gorgeous.
Yeah, I personally like that style.
I did too, and it's really funny because, you know, I'm from Connecticut, you're from the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. Boardwalk is sort of not really traveling too far from home.
No, in fact, I've actually seen promos where they tout Boardwalk as turn of the century New Jersey Shore coast. I'm like, exactly. Okay.
It's funny. You know, the Boardwalk, the Beach Club, the Yacht Club, that whole area just yes. really appeals
well, yeah,
to me.
Beach, yeah, Beach, I've always thought, and this is only me, I've always thought of Beach Club as being like a Carolinas. I've thought of Boardwalk as being New Jersey and, you know, like Long Island, like Coney Island kind of area. And I've thought of Yacht Club as the Connecticut coast. Like Martha's Vineyard, you know, Massachusetts, right. Connecticut.
Right. Connecticut, Rhode Island, Mass,
yep.
sort of.
Yep.
As you get out more towards the actual oceanfront coast.
And then you get to Maine and it's too freaking cold to be on the beach.
Yeah, and then someone from Maine goes to Yachtsman Steakhouse and says, you charge how
yeah,
much for a
lobster? Yeah, right. I could have brought like, this lobster for less.
It's like chicken up here.
Well, it might be less than chicken.
There, we've had summers where it was. but yeah, that, you know, I thought the new decor and, of course, the new ice cream shop, Ample House.
Oh! Would that be something new? Yes.
Yeah, that's in my new category. Mm. So the something old at the Boardwalk for me was something that we've heard about, we've walked by, but it's kind of hard to take advantage of unless you really make it your destination. That's the Bellevue Lounge.
Interesting, yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Have not.
So in the morning time, they do a little bit of a continental breakfast there. They have some coffee things set up so you can take your refillable mug, fill up your coffee, whatever. But as the day goes on, and I didn't check it out in the morning to see if it happens during the morning, but certainly in the evening, it's a great place to go, get a cocktail, sit back. They have actual radios playing actual old-time radio shows.
That's fantastic.
It's awesome. So that's why I gave it my something old category.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we caught up with one of our good friends, Rob, just had a cocktail there, hung out. They have, you know, like checkerboards and backgammon out if you want to play. You know, very knowledgeable, and I would assume veteran staff bartenders are there. They have some of the classic games.
I've heard, you know, I've actually heard that is not the case necessarily, but I've heard
really?
That
okay.
that, well, no, let me finish. I've heard that that is possibly just a place that they like to stay. So if you're a, you know, veteran bartender, that is one of the coveted locations, and usually the coveted locations don't turn over.
Right.
So it's not so much that they are staffed with the better bartenders, it's that the better bartenders, if they get there, don't leave.
Once they get there, they stay
yeah.
there. Yeah, I could see that. So it was fantastic. You know, it's not what I would describe a kid-friendly space.
No, I've seen not, it. I've walked
it's,
past it, you know up that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it's very small.
Yeah,
it's very somewhat secluded. So, you know, I popped in there with my son. You know, let him walk around. Particularly in the morning time, it was fine. When we were doing the cocktails, you know, it was more of like, okay, you can sit here for a few minutes, but we're not going to keep the kid here. Let's head over to the arcade. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So. You know, your mileage may vary. I know one of the hot topics has been kids at the bar at Trader Sam's that people have been talking about
on
Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Neither am I, but, you know, this was a similar situation. Not at the bar, we were certainly at a table, but I just felt the atmosphere would have been taken away a little
yep.
bit, you know, by my six-year-old sitting there playing on his iPod or something.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, even if kids are quiet, it's not the point. I mean, I have
exactly.
I am the proud owner of a 10-year-old daughter, and we often go to, whether by myself or with family or with extended family, any reason to go to the local beer garden, and I would not even think to take my daughter up to sit at the bar. While Sitting not 4 feet away are the large communal tables. We will wait for the table to open up because the bar is not appropriate, in my mind, for a child who can't drink.
Yeah, I would not disagree at all. So what we did, and what we've done a few times while we were there over our week at Boardwalk, is we'd head over to the arcade. Now, as I think of sort of, you know, my Boardwalk, I've been to the Boardwalk, you know, down in the Jersey area, but more my Boardwalk experience would be more like something out in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. or even some of the areas like, you know, Lake George up in New York, yep. or Hampton Beach in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. One of the things that really sticks out to me on the Boardwalk is playing in the arcades.
Yep.
And that's why I was very blue to find roughly a third to maybe 40% of the machines at the Boardwalk arcade, which is very small to begin with, were either offline or broken.
Yeah, I had heard that before too. I was kind of hoping that Boardwalk, let me back up a little bit. It was maybe 5 years ago that Disney really made kind of a concerted effort to scale back on their arcade games. This was even before Florida decided that claw machines are games of chance. It needed to be regulated, and Disney pulled out all of those types of games. But I mean, you know, this is when they closed the arcade, Contemporary. I think they severely scaled back what goes on outside of Space Mountain, and most of the arcades across property at the resorts were scaled back. Of all the locations, Boardwalk, because of its theme, theoretically, should have actually gotten some of that budget, because that is one of those things. I mean, you go back to the movie Big with Tom Hanks. He puts the coin into the machine and he gets his wish. I mean, that's part of going to the Boardwalk.
Right. That's the stuff that I picture as part of that Boardwalk experience. Yes. And, you know, everything else, the Leaping Libations bar outside is very well themed and looks like a carousel. Yep. And, you know, as you're walking through, you get that wonderful Boardwalk classic feel. So I was really excited for the arcade, and even when I saw it was small, I thought, well, okay, you know, he's six, he'll get well entertained by a handful of games. Mm-hmm. Everything he wanted to play was broken.
Yeah,
I was
like, oh, that's...
And it didn't get fixed over the
weekend. That's disappointing.
It's not like it was a short term. So it certainly did make us blue.
Yeah.
But one fun thing that is arcade related that was borrowed from the Magic Kingdom, they have the old penny arcade machines in the hallways.
Yeah.
And they do still work.
That's neat.
And you don't have to put a penny in.
No. No, and that's also neat, because who cares around change nowadays?
Yeah, exactly. Can I swipe my card?
I mean, honestly, the first thing I do when I get home is get change out of everything I've got. Jackets, pants pocket, and, you know, whatever. And it goes into right now it's a Star Wars, like, toddler cup. But once that thing gets filled, I take it to the coin machine at the bank, and that becomes drink money for vacation. So, yeah.
At least you get home with said change. I usually just hand it to my son. It's like, here, go.
If
you can put this in your pocket all the way home, you can put it in your piggy bank.
I've been giving my kid the change, and she's like, thank you for the change. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But,
exactly.
Yeah, whatever. To be a kid, that's awesome.
Exactly. So, you know, the creepy clown was our view out our window.
Yes!
Turn out our window.
And now we will take this opportunity. We will take this opportunity to say hello to Nick Waymania on Twitter, who loves clowns. Please, everybody who's listening to this, send Nick a picture of a clown.
Yes. And that Twitter handle is?
@ Nick Waymania.
Yes, please do. So the clown does actually look like it's spitting children into the pool.
It does.
The Keister Coaster, which is actually what that slide is called, was actually quite fun. It was one of the better slides, I think, that they have at a deluxe resort.
It is, and what I really like about it, too, that looking at the theming, the support structure makes it look like a roller coaster, which is really neat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, as you would expect at a deluxe resort, the theming is strong at the Boardwalk.
Yep.
I think it's very well done. You know, it's not just cheesy names and oversized decor. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty well thought through.
So
I love staying there. It was a fantastic stay. It was kind of funny because I thought I was going from a moderate room upgraded in space to a one-bedroom villa.
Yeah.
But thanks to our fortuitous upgrade to the King Suite, we actually lost square footage. But still, I mean, that's not a knock at Boardwalk at all.
It was fantastic. And I will say one of the things that you really haven't hit on for Boardwalk that to me is the key advantage is location.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth talking about because, you know, obviously Boardwalk is expensive.
Yes.
They were offering discounts, as they often do in the summer, so they the AP discount, I think, was upwards of 30-35% off, that kind of stuff. Yep. So it can become manageable, particularly if you get an in-room or a studio instead of the larger villas.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something to be said for the, you know, and I'll go a little bit into the sort of pluses and minuses. The biggest plus is what you just said. We literally walked to Epcot every time.
It's so, not only walking to Epcot, in my experience, we've stayed at Boardwalk before. Again, full disclosure, my parents and my wife's parents both have DVC memberships. So we have stayed at Boardwalk on more than one occasion. It's actually one of my dad's home resorts. Now that other resorts on the monorail line have come online, Boardwalk used to be one of the more expensive places to stay, points-wise. Now I think it's more along the middle of the pack, which makes it really, really attractive. Because
so they must have like kind of juggled the chart a little bit, so the highest peak points aren't so high anymore.
Well, no, it's the price per point.
Oh, price per point. Okay, yes. I thought you meant the points to be used. I said because I know the way that's all built, they can't just reduce.
No, I'm thinking more. You know, because people do they'll rent points from people on websites.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have any. I don't use any myself, so I can't. You know, I can't recommend any right now. But, you know, to use points at Boardwalk tends to be a pretty good value, whereas before, to use points at Boardwalk used to be a really expensive proposition for getting what you get. But, you know, just to go back to your original point, walking to Epcot, I thought was fantastic. To me, walking back from Epcot is almost much better.
No, can't disagree there. The convenience of that location. And you know what else? When you want to go see, like, Illuminations, it's not such a project.
No.
You could be hanging around your resort or having a late dinner or something and then just decide it's 8:30 and, oh, Illuminations on half an hour. Let's go pop in the back gate, watch it, and walk right back to our resort. So even if you don't plan on a late night out, that, you know, the schlep to the front of the park and the get waiting for the bus and all kinds of stuff.
Or the monorail to go to the other resort, yep.
All eliminated if you stay in that Boardwalk area.
Yeah, so, and the other thing that I really enjoy, and it's one of the things that, as much as I, on Twitter and in life, will bag on Disney's Hollywood Studios, to me, the walk from Boardwalk along that waterway, when you approach the studios and you start to hear the background music coming from the parking lot, it is unlike any other place on property, because nowhere else do you get that amount of lead-in on a walk, really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even at if you're staying at Contemporary and walk to the Magic Kingdom, I don't think you're ever without background music.
No, much, yeah, and it's much quicker.
The same, really, with going from Boardwalk to Epcot. By the time you leave, you know, you walk on the Boardwalk past ESPN, you start to pick up the music coming from Beach Club, Beach Club, and then you get to International Gateway and you hear Epcot music. You're never without it. There's a large stretch where you don't hear anything. You hear the sound of cars passing by, people laughing, maybe there's some tennis going on, the boat goes by, the Friendship on the waterway, but there's no background music. You're kind of in a nice walking area, but you're not in a theme park.
Right.
Then you start to approach studios and you start to hear it. And it really, that to me is fantastic. That is one of the really not talked about things about staying at Boardwalk. Everybody talks about walking to Epcot. I really enjoy walking to studios.
Yeah, and where our villa was located, we could go out the side sort of stairwell.
Yep.
And we're partway down that path on that walk, so you'd have to come around from the front side. So we walked to the studios every time we went down there, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that you're going to be walking a lot on your Disney trip anyway.
Yep.
So, you know, some people might think that walk is a little bit daunting, but, you know, we just really took it for what it was, enjoyed it, enjoyed seeing the Friendship boats. And yeah, it's almost like you have to do it because you can.
I don't think it's much different than walking from the bus stop to the American Adventure.
No, definitely not.
Let me clarify. The bus stop of Epcot.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
To the American Adventure.
No, I know what you meant. Yeah. It's, yeah, we would do the walk in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it wasn't
that
terrible.
Sounds about right.
You'd wait longer for a boat to get you down there most of the time. yeah, so, I mean, overall, you know, we really enjoyed both resorts that we stayed in. You know, if I had to pick a con of the Boardwalk, it's that there's no real food court experience. Boardwalk Bakery is one of your mug refill stations. Yes. It's where you're getting your quick pastry in the morning.
And it is, and they are quick from experience. And pretty good coffee in there, too.
Really, yeah, good coffee, good pastries. We had good cupcakes there, although they are whipped cream frosting.
Can I tell you I have never had a cupcake at Walt Disney World?
Oh, you're missing out on half the reason to go there.
I have been going to Walt Disney World since 1983. I have never had a cupcake. There is always some other dessert I would rather have.
Well, in full disclosure, I've never had a Mickey ice cream bar.
Oh!
Yeah?
Okay. Separate podcast. Go.
My son loved the strawberry fruit bars. He got that at every stand he could find.
Oh, come on, those are Welch's.
even when I tried to talk him into getting an ice cream bar, I'm like, so I can have a bite. You know, he never got one. And I never got one. So yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that. He threw me off my game.
Well, isn't that what I'm here for?
Oh, the
cupcake.
The lack of food court a food court experience. And I only mention that because most places that you stay on property, if you wanted to grab a quick breakfast but still get something, you know, like an eggs and a biscuit,
you can sit down somewhere.
It exists. Yeah. But not even can you sit down. The food doesn't exist anywhere. You can get like eggs in a coffee cone, and they had an egg sandwich at the bakery, but they don't have that typical breakfast platter. They don't have Mickey waffles.
Hmm.
We went over to I forgot the name of it. There's like a little coffee shop inside. It was the only thing open before 7 o'clock if you wanted to get breakfast on the inside. I was trying to go to Pepper Market one morning because that's where you can get more of that experience with the sit down.
See, and interestingly, when we stayed at the Dolphin, I walked all the way to the Boardwalk Bakery because nothing was open at the Dolphin yet.
Oh, really? Because Pikachu is open. I call it Pikachu. Peekaboo is open. Pokemon Go! Peekaboo is open 24 hours.
Well, okay, let me...
But some of that's grab and go.
Yes. I wanted more of the place in order. I mean, I'm not a fan of grab and go, but that's just me. And again, it was me alone with my thoughts and my camera at 6 in the morning.
Right.
So I quote-unquote rope-dropped Boardwalk Bakery.
Yeah, so Pepper Market didn't open until 7, so we went to the coffee shop, and that was great for a bagel or a donut or a muffin or something. Yep. But yeah, that sort of quicker food service experience wasn't really there.
Right.
You know, the Pepper Market's the best they have towards
it. And that seems to be indicative of DVC resorts.
Yeah. And that's where we could have taken advantage, you know, once we were in the one-bedroom villa there, we obviously could have, you know, ran out to the grocery store or even their little store and gotten some.
Oh, man.
Made them ourselves.
You could pay $4 for 6 eggs.
Yeah. So we didn't really do that. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to jump in while we're talking about food is just give you a little bit of an overview of dining. Now, obviously, in 12 days, we had, you know, roughly 36 meals. I'm not going to talk about them all.
Wait, is this going to be math?
No, we will be a math podcast, but right. Not in this
episode. Okay, math podcast.
So, something new in the dining realm. We went to Morimoto Asia.
Oh, that would be new for me because I haven't been to Walt Disney World in quite some time.
Was Epcot around?
Moving on.
You said 83.
Moving on.
They didn't have all the pavilions yet, but Epcot was there.
No, they did not. not the first time I went.
Morimoto Asia, it was very good. It's a bit pricey, I think, for what it is, but you'd expect that because you are getting a name brand chef.
Yes.
The decor, I want to call it, it's not quite New York chic. It's probably a little bit more L.A.
Okay. I was gonna say it's Newark chic, but...
No, it's not Newark. It was clean. This is a spoiler for those that enjoy Disney bathrooms.
Okay, so fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled about a bathroom.
If you don't... Okay, you walk into the men's room.
What, women?
Women! Everywhere! Mostly headshots!
Oh, no!
Of varying ages.
Wait, this is a safe-for-work podcast!
Mostly. So, of course, you know, I take my son in there. I'm like, okay, thank God this isn't inappropriate. So, we get back to the table, and I said, Beck,
you gotta see the men's room!
Go to the bathroom. And she's like, well, I said... Please go to the bathroom. I don't have to. No. Go to the bathroom.
Let's go.
Just tell me how it's decorated.
Yeah.
It's all pictures of men. I don't understand this at all. Okay, whatever. That was the weird part of Morimoto Asia.
Maybe it's inspiring?
I don't know. Feng Shui? I have no idea. It was not what I was expecting, and Again, thankfully, I didn't have to explain anything to my son as he was watching.
I can't wait until we do a review of Fort Wilderness Campgrounds, but we won't talk about that right now.
So the dessert at Morimoto Asia, yeah. they have this sundae. I'm guessing it's a sundae for two because I think it was $20. The dessert was amazing. It had all sorts. There was these weird, I don't know if they were lychee nuts or lychee fruit, whatever. There's some weird squishy thing in there, so that'll throw you a curveball. Funky texture. Outside of that, the rest of the dessert was amazing. My son got churros, I think.
Okay. Oh, the mini churros.
Yeah, yeah. Those were pretty good, too. So he enjoyed that quite a bit. And the food was good, too. We got, I don't know if you're familiar with the menu, Paul, but it's not just like a traditional Japanese Asian or a Chinese Asian. It's more Asian-inspired across
it's different... It's Pacific fusion, I believe.
Yeah, so we got a stir-fried shrimp dish, which was a very clean dish. Lots of vegetables. For $26, I thought it was a little bit sparse on the shrimp. I think we had maybe four or six total.
Oh.
We got a chicken pad Thai, which again, you know, a weird combination to get at the same restaurant.
Chicken pad, yeah, because Indonesian Thai.
Now you get Thailand, yeah. I thought it was the better of the two dishes, personally. But yeah, the food I thought was really good, and you know, just hanging around Disney Springs, there's a lot of new options down there, and probably something for a different topic. For my old, I'm going to go with Crystal Palace, only because it was something that. New experience at something old for us. Because Crystal Palace.
Nah, my brain is hurting.
Yeah, math. It's logic. It's kind of one of our mainstays, so it's not like I haven't been there in a while. But I actually went to the omelet station, you know, the eggs on call type thing, and I was up there to ask for egg whites. Actually, wanted a egg white omelet, and I saw the chef there was making Mickey-shaped waffles. I'm sorry, Mickey-shaped pancakes. So. On the buffet, you can get regular pancakes. And in the kids section, you can get the Mickey-shaped waffles.
Yes.
I was super excited that they were making Mickey-shaped pancakes on the sort of pancakes to go type
That's
of choice.
That's great.
So I had them whip up a couple for my son, and they'll add chocolate chips if you ask.
Ooh.
So that was kind of a new way to experience an old favorite. So my something borrowed, and this is, you might throw a flag on me for this one. I borrowed the idea of classic top-end service because there are a lot of restaurants out there where if there's something you're going to be critical of, it's I'm paying really high-end prices, and I'm not getting quite that high-end service.
Right.
And this isn't to fault any cast member or any server out there, because this is not only a Disney phenomenon. But it's been a while since I've been back to Yachtman Steakhouse. Mm. And given the location where we were, we went on the 4th of July, and that was our 4th of July dinner.
Okay. I'm not necessarily going to throw a flag. However, I do know there are holiday surcharges tacked on.
Yeah, but with that was the holiday sir ad of fantastic service.
Oh,
I was really, really pleased with our experience there. I mean, it was to the point that I think our server was ready to cut up my son's meal for
That's
him.
That's fantastic.
They just—it was kind of like cruise line service,
that, you know. And that was—I was just going to say that because our server did cut my daughter's steak one night.
Yeah, I mean, I really think
on a cruise,
I don't even think I would have had to ask. I think I could have done it via eye contact. Mm-hmm. Like, he was that in tune to our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. The other amazing thing I'm going to point out is the asparagus. So you go to
Not
a steak
just house. For Boathouse.
No, Boathouse asparagus is very good. I've had that before. But this is an asparagus dish. This isn't just grilled asparagus. They mix it with peanuts, pickled vegetables, guanciale, which is like a salami. It's a cured pork cheek.
I'm all about the pork, so that's good.
And some egg whites.
You got egg whites there.
Yeah, so it throws in different textures. You got the acid with the base. You got the sweet with the salty. I mean, amazing asparagus. Loved it.
You are such a foodie.
Oh, total foodie. This is a good foodie experience. The one thing I did forget, which I experienced, was that because it was July 4th, I don't remember surcharges on the menu, but certainly no tables in Wonderland discount.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
So lame. Sorry.
And again, it's not the restaurant's fault, it's not the server's fault, it's not the cook's fault.
No,
that's a Disney decision.
Yep, is what it is, and it didn't mar my experience at all. Yeah. It just pained my wallet.
Yeah.
20% of that bill would have paid for other dinners.
Yes.
And the last thing I'll wrap you up with is my something blue at dining.
You're wrapping me in blue, good.
I think you're going to like this one. Blue
Zoo.
I love Blue Zoo. At the Dolphin, if you've never been, I'd say the Dolphin is an underutilized dining experience. We went to Il Molino over there.
I would agree.
Best Italian on property. We went to Blue Zoo. Best seafood on property.
Blue Zoo, another celebrity chef, Todd yes. English, running that restaurant. So you did the yes. celebrity chef tour. Tell me, did you do Wolfgang Puck while you were there?
We almost did, actually.
See?
We were downtown one day.
Where?
I'm sorry, we were at Disney Springs one day. And we were... Oh, God, I think it was the day we did the luau, which could be a completely different show. And so I didn't want to have much of a lunch.
No, so, not with the luau coming.
No, the luau's coming. My father-in-law, all of a sudden, my in-laws were there for the first 3 days of our trip. He's like, oh, well, what are we doing for lunch? I'm like,
nothing.
Nothing. We're in the luau for 1.5 hours.
We're sucking it up is what we're doing.
Yeah. We were at the far end Wolfgang Puck Express, so the one that's
yes,
actually...
that's the one I prefer.
Oh, really? I like the other one better. It has more of a menu.
No, I like the one over by Earl Sandwich.
Yeah, so he didn't have anything there that tickled his fancy. Hmm. The one by Earl of Sandwich is the better.
So you were over by Pineapple Bongos.
Yeah, near Bongo. So that one has a lesser menu.
Gotcha.
And so nothing tickled his fancy there, so he passed on lunch. I think he ended up getting like a uncrustable sandwich.
It's for the best.
Yeah, so so anyway, yeah, if we you threw me off my game again.
Ah, that's what I do.
Did I talk about Blue Zoo yet?
Okay, yes, we are talking about Blue Zoo, and for those of you drinking at home, the official butter and bacon drinking game, throwing Dean off his game, is worth one drink. Yeah.
I think I'm hammered at this point. At Blue Zoo, the specific blue item I'm going to point you to, the children's dessert.
Oh.
They will come out with a chocolate boat
yeah.
that is cargo of gelato.
Yo.
Swimming through a sea of blue jello. My son was in his glory.
That's fantastic!
It was really well done. The pastry chef there is an award-winning chef.
Mm-hmm.
He actually does have his own restaurant now, but everything there is inspired or designed by him still. I'm assuming it's a him. I shouldn't do that. It might be a her. I forgot the name.
It might be a her, and I gotta tell you, I mean, that gives you an idea of the quality of Blue Zoo, because it's run by a celebrity chef, but another chef is the one that is the pastry chef.
Yeah, exactly. And everything. I had a shrimp cocktail there. Blow your head back. It's amazing. four very jumbo shrimp
yes.
with four different dipping sauces.
Prawns.
Yeah. The entrees were fantastic. The service again. We got the service was done by a three-member team.
That's fantastic.
You know, so you want for nothing when you're at a restaurant like that.
Yeah.
It just incredible.
Yeah.
That's. You know, again, I think you'll hear me reference this experience. You know, it was a 12-day trip. We had a lot going on. And, you know, neither Paulie nor I are locals, so I think you get a lot of more point-in-time measures, whereas other podcasts where you have someone that's there constantly, you get a little bit more of the... maybe a little bit different perspective.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the time passage between visits.
Yeah, and while we do go... we as a collective, we do go regularly, or we do experience Disney things regularly... the good stuff sometimes can be appreciated if it's been absent for a while.
Exactly. So, you know, Paulie, I think I could give you a whole nother episode talking about the theme parks in Disney Springs. And maybe we'll do just that.
That sounds like a plan. Stay tuned next week.
This has been The Good Stuff. Thank you for listening to Butter and Bacon. For personalized trip planning services and expertise, please contact Becca via email at becca@adventuresoutthertravel.com, on Twitter at AIOTTravel, or visit our website, adventuresoutthertravel.com, where you can get more information, read our blog, subscribe to our newsletter, and request a quote. Let them know Butter and Bacon sent you. You can follow Butter and Bacon on Twitter at Butter and Bacon, on Instagram as Butter and Bacon Podcast, and please contact us via email at butterandbaconpodcast@gmail.com. To get the good stuff delivered hot and fresh, please subscribe to Butter and Bacon in your podcast app of choice.
am I talking? I am recording.
Nice! What? What?
What are you doing with my phone?
What?
Oh.
What?
Becky said, are you recording? Snark is returning to the podcast world.
Wait, there has been an awakening. Oh my god, yes!
That's good.
I'm doing it!
I'm doing it!
We're going to release it on video on our Instagram feed.
Really?
Yes! Oh, that's perfect. The teaser from Star Wars. And then it ends with the logo. There has been an awakening. Have you felt it? The snark.
I thought you meant video podcast. I'm like, no, I'm definitely...
No, we're not doing that because I'm walking around my house currently in a bathing suit. So no. He goes to the boardwalk and puts a quarter into the Zoltar machine. Either one. You'll never know that I said this because it's getting edited.
Except now it's getting edited and added to the
maybe,
end.
Maybe we have an outtake.
You never know. I'll never know. Wow. I will just put up pictures on the... Well, I won't. I'll tell Mike to put up pictures on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Cut that
out.
Yeah, we will. I will put up pictures on the Instagram, or we will put up pictures on the Instagram.
Instagram will have pictures.
What's our Instagram, Paulie?
Yeah.
Yeah, fill that in.
I think it's butter and bacon.
Probably.